Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
You see, the title of the message is, You Got to Go? Turn to a neighbor right now and just ask him, You Got to Go? Second part of the message is, you gotta let them go. Tell somebody else, you gotta let them go. And the third part of the message, Weldon Online TV, everybody, is you got to go. Tell somebody, you got to go. Three different pieces linked, three very different meanings from what God has for us. You see, there's so many ways to say goodbye. So long, farewell, good night, auf Wiedersehen. I'd like to stay and taste my shirt's first champagne. That's my version of Broadway. Get over it. Right? Peace out. Bye. I always think of Zorro. Until we meet again. Bye, Felicia. Which is my favorite. And will come in handy later in the message. Just turn to somebody right now and say, it's not personal, but bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia. You know, if you turn with me to Ruth, if you have your Bible, because you do, amen. Amen. If you go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, that's where Ruth is at. So if you go to Ruth, and there is a story in Ruth, but it's not story, it's history. And there are characters in the story, but they're not characters, they're people like you. And one of the people is a mama, and her name is Naomi. And mama is married to a man, and they have two sons. And the two sons marry two girls. They marry Orpah, and they marry Ruth. Well, life is going along just great, but Papa passes, and then son passes, and then another son passes, and then there's just the three girls left. You ever had a day in your life when you can't figure out, how did all that happen, and how did I get here? Well, that's where they wake up that day. How did we get here? And so Ruth says, I can't take care of these girls. I can't provide for these girls. I can't farm for these girls. I can't protect them from warriors. I can't protect them from the animals. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I know what I'll do. I'm going to tell them they need to go home. I'm going to invite them to go. So she embraces Ruth and she embraces Orpah and she's like, girls, you got to go. Even if I meet a man today and I get pregnant today, you're not going to want to marry that man, because how many of you know it would be illegal, at least for 17 years? So you're not going to want to marry that man. You're not going to wait that long. You need to go home to your family. It's going to be so much better. We always got to be careful who we listen to, because sometimes just because you got invited to go doesn't mean that God wants you to go. That's good. That is a word, friends. If you're a note taker, I invite you to write it down. If you look back at your Twitter, I invite you to put it there. Just because somebody invites you to go, it doesn't mean that God told you to go. Just because your boss told you, you're not cutting it, this is our third conversation, I think it's time to develop your transition plan. You see, it's so easy to take the easy way out. Well, you know, the marriage is hard and it's really stale. Just because your mate thinks that you're not capable of providing them the love, that they don't feel the love, that they're not interested in you anymore, we say, you know what? I can't be what they want me to be, so I'm out. I know, these are hard, right? Just because the job offer comes, and it's glittery, and it looks good, and the pay is way more, and they have a signing bonus, you don't know that they're not getting ready to lay off people in 6 months. Just because that hot thing comes along and your spouse ain't paying attention to you anyway, and they want to give you all that attention that you've been really needing anyway, you need it, you haven't been getting it, doesn't mean that you should go. Maybe when the boss tells you it's time to step out, you say, no, you know what? I'm not going to step out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to step up, and I'm going to show you a me that you have never seen before. And maybe you tell that mate, you think you're bored, but I've been pouring all my love and attention into the kids in my career. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour into you like I did when we got married. And you're going to remember why you wanted to marry me, because you're going to reignite that spark and that love that is still on the inside. Somebody say amen, because your marriage is worth it. Amen. We have all these easy outs, all these reasons to sidestep, all these reasons to back out. But friends, I'm here to tell you, some things sparkle and they look so good from far away. Just be sure it's not the enemy sharpening his blade and reflecting it in what he's telling you is the green light on Easy Street. Just because it glitters, it isn't God. Just because it looks good, it isn't God. And just because it looks hard, actually, chances are that's God. Just because it looks hard. If you want to discern the voice of God, people tell me all the time, Weldon, they say, hey, I need to discern the voice. How do you know when it's God's voice? I'm like, oh, well, that's easy. Are they telling you to do something hard? Yeah. Are they telling you to do something that you do not want to do? Yeah. Well, that's God. You know, he tells us to walk by faith. The problem is we walk according to the circumstances that we can see. Orpah was walking according to the circumstances that she could see. You're not going to have a baby. You're not going to be able to take care of me. I love you, Ruth. Oh, you're so good. What time's this ticket for? I don't want to leave you. Oh, I'm going to miss my flight. I'm sure we should stay together all whole time, but I got to go. Bye, Felicia. She was out because it looked hard. Everybody say, because it looked hard. But Ruth stayed. Most of the time, when it doesn't make sense in the natural, that's when you know you got to look at God. Because he tells us in Isaiah 55:8, your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. Basically, he says, baby, you have no idea the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, you don't know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. But all we can say is, God, I just look around and it looks so hard. He's like, yeah, because you're looking in the natural. I need you to take a look in the spirit, and I need you to see past what you can see with your eyes. I need you to close your eyes and open your mind to my trust and my blessing. And if you can see past what you think you know and try and tune in to what I know, because I am the Spirit of God. I am the Spirit of grace. I am the Spirit of mercy. I am the Spirit of love. I am out in your future already. You can see to the corner, but I can see around it. You see, because what happened was, I always like when people tell me a story, they're like, well, what happened was, and you're about to hear something. So what happened was, Orpah left, but Ruth stayed when it looked hard. Ruth stayed, and Naomi went back to her homeland where they could get food. And I guess what we don't really think about, and maybe Ruth wasn't thinking about, is Naomi couldn't have any more babies, but when you married into a family, you were in the family, and if your spouse died or departed, they put you with another boy in the family. So I guess what I'm saying, ladies, is this. Go to the family reunion before you say yes. You need to look around and be like, whoa, I hope all the cousins are cute, cuz. So they go to this other area, and they go to live, and there's this guy. His name is Boaz. Boaz ain't Poaz, the people that she just left. Boaz is single. Boaz is integral. Boaz is good looking. And Boaz is making it rain, baby. Boaz is loaded. Boaz leads the area. Boaz is a leader of the community. And Boaz is a part of the family. Single girl just said, yeah, I take it. One single girl. The rest of the single girl's like, I don't know if I got faith for it yet. Oh, girl, believe it. You've been going for broke ass, sorry ass, mad ass, poor ass, God's like, why are you settling for all that? I got you a Boaz. Somebody say amen if they're single, female or male. God's got a blessing in your future that exceeds your expectation. Ruth marries Boaz. And when she marries him, they have a baby named Jesse. Guess who is born out of that? King David. Guess who comes out of the lineage of David? Jesus. When they list out the entire lineage of Jesus, there are five women in that lineage who are named by name. And do you know one of those five women? That name is Ruth. God is wanting you to get past that hard thing. If people are inviting you to leave, don't walk away from the blessing just because it looks hard. That's what Orpah did. And I can't help but wonder, and it will be a question that I ask when I go to heaven, because if you're in very many conversations with me, you know I ask a lot of questions. It's kind of annoying. But I am going to ask God. God, was it supposed to be Orpah? Did you have her name in the lineage? Did you give her the first opportunity? But she went ahead and forfeited the opportunity. The little girl in the front row said, no. But did she forfeit the opportunity when she stepped out? And God said, you can step out, but you can't stop my plan. So I'll go ahead and I'll lift somebody else up and I'll put them right in that place. I want you to say right now, say, I'm Ruth. Bye, Felicia. Well, technically, we need to change it. Well, then online TV, I want you to say, bye, Orpah. You see, that's what the next part is. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. Nah to the no. That's me being Meghan Trainor. I'm just a jukebox today. It's free music video Sunday. You know, I wish I could sing. It'd be so much more fun for y'all. You know, I can't remember how many times my ex-husband left when he got hooked on drugs. And I begged him to come back, drug addict and all. I just wanted him back. I wanted it whole. I wanted it how it used to be. I had this memory, and he just wasn't having it. He'd come back until the next paycheck. He'd come back until the next opportunity. He'd come back until he wanted to get high again. And then he'd leave. I was always at home all, baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. The problem is we're wanting them to blame it on us just so they'll stay. And truth of the matter is, they got problems of their own. Now we got to remember, I'm going to take a step over. Just because somebody invites you to go doesn't mean you're supposed to go unless it's God. But if somebody like Orpah is going to exit your life, I want to let you know, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Nah to the no. Bye, Felicia. See you later, alligator. So long, farewell. Alvita Zane, I'm here to tell you right now, nobody is going to exit your life and mess up your destiny. Nothing takes God by surprise, my friends. Yeah, you need to pick up the phone. You need to pick up the phone and delete their number so you can't ever text them again. You never have to look at somebody who's walked away from you and beg them to love you, to care about you, to believe in you, to spend time with you, to stay in touch with you. If they're going to exit your life, our job in Christ is to just let them go. Just let them go, baby. But I'm not sure it really hurts. I was there. My ex-husband left me not for a woman. He left me for drugs. How do you even compete? How can you be cute enough, smart enough, sweet enough, loving enough? How do you compete with a drug? I couldn't figure it out. Now, 20 years later, oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to compete with the drug. I was supposed to let him go. God is looking at our life saying, you're so busy holding on to the wrong thing that your arms are not even available to catch the blessing that I'm trying to send you. I was trying to hold on to a man that did not want me. And all the time, I'm just going to warn you right now, I haven't seen my husband in about like 16 hours. The finest, best looking, cutest, most loving, best preaching, best husband in all the world was in a holding pattern waiting for me to get my act together and let go of some man who didn't want me. Here he is in life going, I don't know why I'm going in circles in my life. That might be you right now. You're like, God, I don't know why you won't send me what I'm looking for. I don't know why you won't send me my mate. I don't know why you won't send me the job. I don't know why you won't send me the client. He's like, I want to, but you're busy holding on to this other stuff. That other person is holding on. That other person is holding on. I'm trying to move them out of the way. I'm trying to get them to let it go. You're in a holding pattern until they are finally available because they've let it go. Everybody say, you got to let it go. When we let it go, we can let go and let God. 1 John 2:19, it said they went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. There are friends for a reason, friends for a season, and friends for a lifetime. That means only one group out of that three really stays forever. God puts people in your life for now. For this point in your life, for this place in your life. He puts these people in your life for a reason. You need this, you need that. You need to support them, they need to support you. And when the season is done, when the reason is done, it's time to let them go so that you can have that lifetime availability. He said they went out from us because they didn't belong to us, 1 John 2:19, because if, everybody say if. Yes. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. They would have remained, but their going showed that they did not belong to us. I don't care if your spouse left you. I don't care if your mama left you. I don't care if your daddy left you. My daddy gave me up before I was even born, before he even met me. How do you not like somebody you've never met? I hadn't even been born to offend him yet. Just because they left, it doesn't make them bad. Get this, so we don't get an offense and unforgiveness. It doesn't make them bad. It simply means that their part in your life, their part in your destiny. You know what God needed from the man who was my biological father? He needed his seed to create me. Because there must have been something in him that was good that God wanted to make sure that I had. Maybe it was strength. Maybe it was stubbornness. I don't know. But he said, I needed that from him and I needed it put in you. But he didn't need to be there forever. He needed to be there for that night. And since he was there for that night, I got what he needed. Now, if he stays, he's going to mess you up. So, baby, just let him go. Just let him go. I got a stepdaddy for you in the United States. He's going to adopt you and take care of you all of his life. Just give me a minute. Just give it a chance. Everybody say, bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia. We got to let him go. We got to let him go. And there are other people in your life. I'm going to challenge you right now. There are people in your life that God wants you to let go. And he qualifies who they are in Psalm 101 verse 4. Psalm 101 verse 4 says, I'll reject perverse ideas and stay away from evil. I want you to say out loud, Weldon Online TV. I want you to say out loud, say, you got to go. Well, that was nice. Except for, sometimes you need a little resolve. If you say, you got to go. You ever had people at your house that you yawned, you cleaned the kitchen, you handed them their hat, you told them you had to get up early tomorrow and they still didn't leave? Some people need a little help. And you have to have a little resolve that, well, I'm sorry, but you've got to go, isn't going to be able to handle. So friends, I need you to have a little attitude and I need you to say, you got to go.
You got to go.
Boom. That is what I'm looking for. So it says, I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from evil. Say, you got to go. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. What do you got to do? You got to go. I will search for faithful people in my companions. So now he's told us what's got to go. Now here's what we got to look for. I will search for faithful people as my companions. Only those who are above reproach are allowed to serve me. Well, God is telling us who to weed out of our life. So why? Well, why does God got to weed people out of my life? I don't like weeding people out of my life. Sometimes the wrong people in your life are the anchor to the past that you're trying to get away from.
Wow.
That's good. So while we're like, well, I don't want to, you know, they're my, we used to kick it back in the day. You don't understand. It was thick. It was fun. They know too much. You got any friends that know too much? No. God's like, shackles off my feet so I can dance. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. He wants to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. If I could sign anything like Tasha Cobb, I would have done it just then. God wants to bust us out of that. But the fact of the matter is, he won't bust it. We have to. So he says, who's who you not around? Here's who you are around. And verse 7 says, I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and the liars cannot stay in my presence. No matter what you've done, because now you're thinking, well, I've been a liar, I've been a deceiver, I've been a cheater, I got an addiction, I'm looking at porn. Now you're trying to qualify yourself out of even being able to be here. I have news for you, friend. God is not looking for a reason not to use you. God is simply waiting for you to cut yourself loose and to stop feeling so guilty about the people who are exiting your life. He wants to make sure we're not the people using the wrong exits. And he says, I don't care about your past. I don't care what you did. I don't care about last weekend. I don't care who raped you. I don't care who molested you. I don't care who rejected you. I don't care what zip code you were born in. I don't care about your bankruptcy. I don't care about your divorce. I don't care about that cheating. I don't care about your taxes. What I care about is you, baby. And here's what I want to tell you. Don't step off now. Stay when it's hard and let them other suckers go. Can somebody give me a good amen? Woo! Why? Why? Why do we got to do that? Because, baby, you got to go. What, you got? You mean I got to leave? Yep, you got to leave. I got to leave to where? You got to leave to the future that God has for you. Those things that he's been talking to you about that you haven't endeavored on yet. That tithe that he's been pushing you toward, that call that he wants you to do, those people he wants you to reach out to in your neighborhood and you're not sure how to start the conversation, that business that he wants you to start, but you've always had a steady paycheck, that client he wants you to expand to, not the sparkling thing that we want, but those things that he's been speaking to you and you're like, I don't want to. You shake your head so hard, your cheeks shake. That's God. You can't do it. It's impossible. I can't possibly fulfill that. Oh, that's God, because he is the God of the impossible. I can't do it by myself. I'm not big enough. That's God, because he knows it's faith. And with God, with faith, all things are possible. This is what God is calling you to do. We got to go where God tells us to go. David usually invites me to go along if he gets some big adventure or some exciting thing to do. And so one day, I know this is impossible for you to think of, but David made me just miffed at him. I know it's hard to imagine me miffed. Or David not being an angel. Y'all know him. Y'all know him. So I decided, as punishment to David, I am going to deprive him of my presence. I know, right? He probably got up that morning and said, God, give me a peaceful day. He's like, sure, got that. He goes on this adventure. He's supposed to come home at like 3. Calls me, not going to be back till 6. Calls me, not going to be back till 8. He comes home around 9 o'clock, and I am just sure that this heartbroken, defeated man who misses me so greatly is going to slink into our home. Instead, the door flies open, and he enters like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. You're not going to believe my day. Oh my God, it's so crazy. I can't believe you missed this. Oh, I don't want you to miss it. I wish you was there. There was this opportunity. It will never happen again in our lifetime, Nicole. How could you not have been there? Well, I was miffed at you. Factored myself out. Because you were in trouble. What have we been missing in our lives? Because we're miffed at God, maybe. We don't want to do what he said. mad at him because somebody got sick, or he didn't come through this one time that we think he should have, or he didn't come through the way that we thought he should have. No, no, no. You let my ex-husband leave. What? He's like, yeah, because I got a better one on the way. Somebody who's going to love you, somebody who's going to value you, somebody who's going to believe in you, somebody who's going to lift you up, somebody who's going to make you so much better a person you won't even know yourself in 20 years. That is who David made me. So there's this guy, his name is Jonah, and God gives Jonah a word. The funny thing about Christians, we all want a word from God. We want a word from God. Until we hear the word, and then we're like, nope, nah, that wasn't for me. They got it wrong. And the word for Jonah was, arise and go to Nineveh, which was a walled city full of warriors, savages. They cared about no one. They were heartless. And go tell them this, Jonah. Y'all are going to hell. God's killing all y'all. Ain't nobody going to survive. Have a nice day. He's like, I won't make it through the front gate of the city. They will kill me. God didn't take the reasoning. He just gave him the word. So Jonah runs from God. Ah! The funny thing about God is you can run, but you can't hide. So instead of going this way 600 miles, he heads 2,200 miles the opposite direction. But God finds him. There's a storm on the ship that he's on, and they know, even though they're men, I find it funny that God told him, arise and go to Nineveh, and the man on the boat looking for him goes down into the belly of the boat. He looks at him and says, arise, Jonah. The voice of man many times will mimic the voice of God. I believe that my voice today is mimicking the voice of God that has been in your life, and those things that you've been trying to crawdaddy out of, or not let go of, or get out of too easily, or won't go towards. God is using my voice to say today those same things that he's been telling you. And they woke him up. But just because you've done something wrong, just because you've messed up your past, just because you headed the wrong direction, just like Jonah, and things look really bad because they're going to throw the boy off the boat. They throw him off the boat, and God says, no, you're not going to be swallowed up. We don't serve a vengeant, hateful God. God never leaves you nor forsakes you. He said, yeah, I'm going to swallow you up. And he sends up a big fish to swallow him up in his grace and his mercy. He should have died and he should have drowned. But instead, he ends up alive in the belly of a fish. Y'all have seen Jaws, right? You don't get into the mouth of a big fish in one gulp, in one piece. There's a leg there and a pinky floating over there. He gets in there in one bite. And here's the thing that Jonah did that I don't want to happen to you. He waited 3 days to pray. 3 days to tell God, God, I repent and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. If I'd have been in that belly, I'd have waited about 28 minutes and 30 seconds, which is about how far we are into this message right this very moment. And I would have told God, God, I am sorry for what I did, and I'm sorry that I've tried to run away from you, but if you will give me another chance, I will get my tail height on course and I will do what you told me to do. God doesn't care what pushed you down, how far you've pushed yourself down. His grace will swallow you up, and it might even allow you to go deeper. He went below sea level. He stayed in the depths and the caverns of the earth for 3 days. But none of it was to hurt him. All of it was to save him, because the alternative to that was his death out of the will of God. If the enemy had had his way, Jonah jumped off the boat, Jonah would have died. God's grace and mercy swallowed it up, and it held him in that place until, everybody say until. Until he said, God, I will do it your way. And God immediately brought him out of the depths of the earth 3 days later, which, you know, kind of foretells a story of another man who came out of the depths of hell who spent 3 days there. He bursts him out onto the shore, and guess what he tells Jonah, and guess what he's telling you? He's telling you, arise and go to Nineveh. God's determination, God's direction, God's plan for your life does not change no matter what you have done, no matter how you screwed it up, no matter how we have delayed it, no matter when we stepped out. If we will step back in, God's plan for you is always the same, has always been the same, and will never change. My friends, God wants to use you for something big. Can I get a good amen? So now I'd like to pray with you. If you have something that you should let go, would you raise your hand online, Weldon, TV, everywhere? If God's been telling you that you got to go and you haven't want to been going, I also need you to raise your hand. And if you've been invited to go and you went too easy and you know you shouldn't have exited, I want you to raise your hand. Father God, here's our hands in the air in repentance towards you, the sign of international surrender. And Father, right now we repent. We're not waiting 3 days. We're not waiting 3 years. We're not going to wait 3 decades. We repent right now and we say, God, we are sorry. The amazing thing about you is you never hold it against us when we repent, which means turn around and go the other way. Well, if we were going the wrong way, God, when we turn around, we're going your way. And now we're heading towards you. God, we don't want to walk towards you. We want to run towards you. We run towards you in our heart right now, knowing that you have goodness, you have blessing, you have prosperity, you have health, you have healing, you have doors of opportunity, you have favor, you have a blessed future. You are a God who we cannot ask, think, or imagine a blessing big enough to compare with what you have in mind for us. And we head for it right now, and we thank you for being so good to us. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.